Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mogul. Hope everyone is well today on this rainy, sunny rainy day in Georgia. Hope everyone is having a wonderful work week. And speaking of work, today I would like to reflect on work that I used to do, that I used to love to do, as a matter of fact, and had a profound impact on my life and who I am today. So today I'd like to talk about teaching and my reflections on being a teacher. Albert Einstein said, "I never teach my pupils. I only attempt to provide the conditions in which they can learn." I like to think I did that. I wasn't so much as of a direct teacher, like you have to do this, this, and this, but I was more of a guide. And I gave them the conditions or created the conditions or co-created the conditions in which they best learned. For 17 years, I taught. Since I was an ESL specialist, and for those of you who don't know what ESL stands for, that stands for English as a Second Language. So I taught students who came from other countries who didn't know how to speak English. I taught everybody at some point, because as an ESL specialist, you're certified to teach K through 12. And literally, I taught every grade level at some point in my career. I mostly taught high school. So no matter what other age group I was teaching, I taught high school. I was what's called an itinerant teacher for a lot of my career, meaning that I went back and forth between schools. And the main school, my home school, usually was the high school. So I mostly taught high school. I taught middle school for a few years. I even taught a kindergarten student once, which skyrocketed my respect for kindergarten teachers through the roof. The kids were cute, but you can only do so much with them. And I realized kindergarten teachers are valuable. Elementary school teachers are valuable. I just can't do it. And the reason I can't really do it is because it's probably not a good idea to be sarcastic with them. And if I can't be sarcastic, what the hell am I supposed to talk about? So me and kindergarten teaching wasn't the best fit. Now, high school, that was my age group. You're essentially preparing kids for life, which is just around the corner at that point. They loved my snarkiness. They loved me for my smart-ass commentary and my smart-ass comments. I had a knack for getting in tune with them, and they trusted me. If you want to teach anyone anything, whether it's a child or an adult, you have to make them feel safe. Whenever you learn something new, there's automatically going to be a fear of making a mistake. I don't care who it is. And if someone is really fearful, especially to make a mistake in front of someone else, more often than not, they're going to shut down. And there's going to be a wall up. And you can't teach anybody when they have a wall up. You can't teach anyone if they close off. A person has to be open in order for you to teach them. You just won't get through to them if they're not. So you have to establish that trust. For me, teaching is not a job. It's more than a profession. What it is actually an almighty and most noble craft, a craft that I took great joy in when I did it. When I wasn't letting the fucking adults get in my head, I really enjoyed myself. That was the biggest problem I had as a teacher, to be honest, was the fucking adults. That I can't say it any more clearer than that. And I'm not going to sit there and talk about what specific problems I had, because that's not what this is about. Because at the end of the day, I love teaching. I love being a teacher. And one of the biggest reasons I love being a teacher was students. And a student once told me, "You're not one of them," meaning the adults. "You're one of us." I knew it was him telling me that he just trusted me, but I always appreciated that and I always valued that. Or maybe he was just saying that I'm an adolescent like them. Who knows? I could just be an adolescent. Seriously, I love that I had this ability to connect with kids. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, I could see their growth, and I knew I had something to do with that. Over the years, I had students thank me for my help and how much they valued what I taught them. It really came back to me one year when I really needed it. One year, I had the worst last teacher day I ever had. Nothing was going right. I felt like a loser. I seriously felt like a loser. Usually teachers are happy on the last day of school. And I was usually one of those teachers. I was usually happy on the last day of school. To be honest with you, I'm not really clear what was going on on that particular day and why I wasn't happy on that particular day. But I just wasn't happy. Like, it was just one clusterfuck after another that day. So this student had already reached out to me, and I had taught him a few years prior. He had already graduated high school, and he was in college by this time. And he just reached out to me, texted me, and asked to meet with me. And we were close, and the fact that he had my phone number was an indication of how close we are. I don't give anybody my phone number. I don't give parents my phone number. I don't give students my phone number. So if I've known you for a few years as a student and I feel close with you and you're about to graduate or you're in college, then I'll give you my number. But other than that, I'm not one of those teachers who's in the habit of giving my phone number out to teenagers. So at that point, he was an adult. We stayed in touch, very simple. And he reached out to me and asked me to just meet him for coffee because he wanted to talk to me. I mean, as a matter of fact, we were so close, I referred to him as the Asian son I never wanted. Now, I said stupid shit like that all the time. That was one of the reasons I love being a teacher, because I just said stupid shit, and I got away with it because I was a good teacher. And I enjoy saying stupid shit. It just made the day lighter. Hell, I say stupid shit now. It does. It just makes the day lighter. And I'll get more into that in a minute. But anyway, we were supposed to meet that same day for coffee. We met up, and he told me how much I taught him and how much it meant to him, because I gave him other advice, too. I gave him advice about life. The same kid, as a matter of fact, said to me, "You taught me about life," while he was still in school. So him coming back after graduating high school, as he was a college student, him coming back when he had no reason to come back, him coming back and saying to me that what I did for him mattered and meant something to him, that was priceless. And I still remember that moment with fondness. And I had a lot of moments like that where kids especially showed me what I did mattered. And isn't that what a lot of us want anyway, to just be shown in some way what we do matters, whether it's our personal life, whether it's our work life? We want to know that what we do matters. And when I was teaching, I have to say, on a regular basis, I was shown in some way, shape, or form what I did mattered. And I had fun with my students. I made sure what I was teaching them was fun for them. Because who the hell wants to be talked at? Like, even if I'm trying to show you something or teach you something you don't know, you know, why would the person that I'm trying to teach something want me to talk at them? They want to engage with me. They want to be a part of what I'm doing. So, yeah, I didn't just sit there and just sit behind a desk and chat, although that works for some people. But I just didn't do that. I engaged with them. I joked around with them. I gave them fun projects to do. Because I really feel like, what's the point of any job or anything you're doing if you're not enjoying it? So I try to make it enjoyable for me. I try to make it enjoyable for them. And that's why me and my students, we got to the places that we got to, because we were having fun. So I had fun seeing what they would come up with when I gave them a creative project to do. I love the exchange of mutual respect. I love that some of my best one-liners came from teaching. I blogged about this earlier this week, so those of you who read that blog, please indulge me as I share my 10 best teaching one-liners, and I'll give you more here than what was in the blog, so you don't have to completely tune off or tune out if you read the blog. So what I'm going to do here, I'll do it David Letterman style. I'm going to go from 10 to 1. So my number 10 best teacher quote, okay, place of bye or see you later. I only said this to students who were used to my sense of humor. Sometimes just saying bye is boring. Number 9, sit down. It's amazing how many times I had to say that to high school kids. Number 8, shut up. If I had to tell a kid more than twice to be quiet, it turned into shut up. I don't feel bad about that. If you got to shut up, you deserved it. It's because you didn't listen the 5 other times I told you to shut up, or the 5 other times I told you nicely to be quiet, and it was shut up. Number 7, do your work. Don't make me save you. By saving, I meant I didn't want to go to another teacher and ask for a meeting to see what the kid had to do to not fail. As a teacher of English language learners, I had to advocate, because think about it. If you come into a school and you don't know English, is it really fair if you failed a class? So it was my job to make sure that a kid didn't fail just because the language ability wasn't there. But if a kid was capable of doing work, then they were kind of fair game. So there was a fine line with that. So it was my job, though, to make sure that those lines weren't blurred. So if I thought a kid was capable of the work but was also capable of just not doing the fucking work, which all kids are, whether they know the language or not, then that's what I said. Don't make me save you. And I knew who the kids were who were capable of doing the work and who wasn't. Number 6. Okay. Leave me alone now. I did say that. Leave me alone. This was used when I had a free period and a student didn't need help but just wanted to hang out and lollygag. Again, I only use this with students that I knew well and had a good rapport with. It always amazed me how much kids wanted to hang out with me when they were not in a class with me. I never wanted to hang out with any of my teachers. I got to a point where I couldn't even give a detention, because a detention for my students wasn't a punishment because they liked hanging out with me anyway. I guess I'm just that bubbly and wonderful. I don't know. Number 5. If you want my help, ask me. And don't wait until the day before it's due. I found myself saying that many times. But how many times do people who know the language, whether it's you're in school or whether you're at work, how many times do we wait the day before something's about to happen or there's some sort of deadline before we get really serious about it? So it is what it is. Number 4. Of my top 10 best teacher quotes, can flunk you. Now, that wasn't me just being a bitch. There was a context to that. A 7th grader tried to tell me they were the man and they could choose whether or not they were going to do their work. He actually said that. I'm the man and I can do what I want. And he wasn't being defiant as much as he was just being a smartass. I showed him who the bigger smartass was. You're not going to outsmartass me. So I just let him know, look, dude, you don't do the work, you fail. Number 3, you can't win, so don't try. Sign was reserved for when a student tried to talk their way out of something and I wasn't in the mood to entertain them. Sometimes I would entertain them because it was entertaining for me, because I just wanted to see what kind of back and forth this kid would do or what kind of bullshit this kid would throw at me. You know, I knew that whatever it was, I probably wasn't going to change my mind. So sometimes I would have that conversation because whatever the kid was trying to pull was entertaining. But then sometimes I wasn't in the mood. So you can't win, so don't try. Number two, whatever you're thinking about doing, I either invented it or perfected it. I think that speaks for itself. Whatever it is you're thinking about doing, whatever thing that you think you're getting over on me for, I've already done it, or I was the one who perfected it, or I did it so well that you can't fuck with me. So whatever. But, you know, sometimes I just really like to see how much they would underestimate me. Like, how many times did a kid look at his cell phone real fast, like on the sly, and then ask me to go to the bathroom? I knew that kid was probably just going to meet somebody in the hallway or meet somebody in the bathroom for some stupid shit they were doing that day. But at the end of the day, if a kid asks you to go to the bathroom and you say no, and the kid comes back and says, da-da-da, like, or whatever, like, oh, that hurt me health-wise or whatever, that's a battle you're not going to win. So I knew that game and many other games. So whatever you're thinking about doing, I either invented it or perfected it. And number one, I have to pat myself on the back for this one. I swear, if I ever did a coffee table book on teacher quotes, this would go in there. This was my number one teaching quote. Number one best teaching quote that I ever came up with. I am never late to class. I am never early to class. Because class doesn't start until I get here. Now, mind you, I walked into class after the bell rang many times because I didn't have my own classroom for a long time. So conceivably, I was just teaching a class in one room, and then I would teach the next class in a different room. So sometimes I was late getting my stuff together, or maybe a kid needed to stay after and talk to me about something, or a kid had a question, or whatever. So as a combination of all these things, I might be coming in after the bell rang to the next class. So one time, a student I was very cool with and who did have a lot of respect for me, jokingly said, "You're late," and that was my response. I am never late to class. I am never early to class because class doesn't start until I get here. And how true is that? Can a teacher really be late to a class? Because the class doesn't start till the teacher gets there. Now, I know, yeah, that's bullshit. That's just me justifying me coming late to class. I have a lateness problem. I just do. But once I got there, they got their money's worth. So, but I did love teaching. I really did. And not only did my students learn from me, I learned from them. Like, I really taught a lot of Asian students over the years. I taught students from China. I taught students from South Korea. I taught students from Japan. So I learned a lot about the nuances of Asian culture. Now, Asia is a big continent. And keep in mind, too, India is a part of Asia. So Asia has a broad range of languages and cultures. And there isn't just one Asian culture. There are many Asian cultures. Now, for me in particular, I learned a lot about Chinese, South Asian, Japanese culture and the differences. There are differences. Just because people are from the same part of the world, that doesn't mean they look at things the same way. So there are differences in languages, in language, of course. There are differences in habits, in food, and God knows what else. And many times, if I see somebody's last name, I can tell what part of Asia they're from. Not everybody's Chinese, people. So, like, for example, if I see somebody with the last name Park, 9 times out of 10, they're South Korean or they're Korean. So there are just names that are blatantly from a certain culture. And because I taught for so long, I started to know those differences. So I'm actually very happy that I know the things about Asian culture that I do. And another time, now, what really struck me sometimes is what I could learn from young kids. Like, I was amazed at how many times a little 14-year-old or 15-year-old was able to sit there and teach me something about life. And I was in awe of it, and I appreciated it because I don't really care who's telling me the truth. Truth is truth, no matter whose mouth it comes out of. So I appreciated that. So one time in particular, there was a student I had who was being made fun of, and he wouldn't tell me who the kids were who were making fun of him, but he just told me in general some kids were making fun of him, and he just said to me, "It's okay, though. I know I'm better than they are." So he had enough perspective not to internalize being made fun of. So at that time, I was going through a difficult situation in my life, in my personal life. I realized, wow, he's right. You know, if somebody gives you a hard time, that just shows you who they are. It doesn't show you who you are. Now, if you can be resilient, then it might show you something like that. But just them giving you a hard time doesn't mean anything about you. And so with that statement, that's what he showed me. And he showed me that he knew that as a 14-year-old. So I thought that was pretty cool. I also love working with other teachers. I had the privilege of working with some of the best teachers in the state. Just being around that elevated your game. And I know I didn't say this in the beginning, but I'm going to say it now. If you want to call in and chime in at any time, especially if you're a teacher, I would love for teachers to call in and give me some of their perspective. The number to call is 323-642-1775. So please call in if you're listening and something I've said makes you want to chime in. So in any case, just back to my little reflections on this important time of my life. So even though there was so much that I loved about teaching, I resigned. I decided that part of my life needed to end and I needed to begin a new chapter. And I did that. And it was probably the best decision I ever made. I had my time, I enjoyed my time, and just it's that simple. It was just time for me to move on to something else. Now, I won't ever go back to teaching in the capacity that I have taught in. I will never go back to classroom teaching. Now, maybe college, maybe I'll teach at a college, but I don't know if any institution would want to have me in their classroom at this point, especially with the shit that comes out of my mouth. But anyway, but there's a reason I won't go back. For all of these rewards, as much as I got out of this profession, out of this craft, I had to leave the profession. I'm a naturally claustrophobic person to begin with, so teaching in a classroom started to feel really stifling. Like I just felt like the walls closed in on me sometimes. Now as a writer, I feel like I can teach on a larger platform. And when I write, it's just me and whatever I'm spewing out on the computer. I'm kind of a loner at heart. So for me, being able to impart knowledge in my own way, on my own terms, is very important to me. And so as a writer, I feel like I just have this amazing platform to help people broaden their horizons and change their perspectives, which is what I did as a teacher. So my job as a writer, my goal as a writer, is to get the reader to think about something in a different way. I can provide them the conditions to get something of value for them. So hopefully whatever conditions I created, they can learn something from or get something meaningful out of it for themselves. Again, Einstein said it, I create the conditions for which students can learn. So now I'm doing that beyond four walls. So another reason I won't go back is the public education system we are currently operating under. I got to a point where I felt that I spent as much time proving I teach as actually teaching. I'm so glad I left teaching before that Howdy Doody's love child with a marionette, Betsy DeVos, started to systematically dismantle the institution that I love, the institution of education. Imagine a worker who worked on the Taj Mahal watch someone come along and wreck it one small piece at a time. That's what I feel at this moment. I can't imagine what I would have done if I was still in the classroom. I think I would have imploded. Okay, it looks like we have a caller. Hello.
Yes, hi. This is Adam. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Adam. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You know, I'm listening to today's blog, and I really feel resonating with it. I actually am a spiritual teacher, and one thing that I wanted to share with your audience is that we never stop growing, we never stop learning, and we have many teachers throughout our lifetimes. Sometimes it's the situations that are our teachers, sometimes it's a physical person, and it varies from situation to situation. But as a spiritual teacher, I can tell you, teaching requires a lot of patience and time and effort, as you've already expressed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had it when I was doing it, and now I've just moved on, you know. But I love the institution, and I love the craft of it.
Right.
Yes. So, you know, I was just talking about DeVos and how her existence as the Secretary of the Department of Education makes me want to implode. But with or without that robber baron, I would still not go back. It's like a leaf falling from a tree in autumn. I will always be a part of that tree, but I can never go back to it. I still have the utmost respect for that tree, though. Oh, thank you for calling, Adam. I'm sorry. Did you have something
no
to
problem.
Add?
No problem.
Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry. I just went right back into my
field. Teaching. I get you. You know, we're always teachers at heart.
Yep.
It's just taking a new form. But I thank you for letting me call in today.
Oh, and I thank you for calling. Always appreciate it, Adam.
No problem. Thank you.
Yes. So in any case, for a lot of the reasons I just stated, I won't go back, but I appreciated it while I was doing it. Stephen King said, "We never know which lives we influence or when or why. I know I made an impact. I know I will always make an impact. I don't have to be in the classroom to do that. Kids still remember me. They will always remember me. I know a lot of them will. Some people are in your life for a reason. Some people are meant to be in your life for a season. And some are meant to be in your life for a lifetime. Teachers are seasonal. You accept that. If I'm one of the reasons some of my students remember that season with fondness, even better. If you like what I had to say today and you want to hear more, you can purchase some of my fiction on Amazon. Scheherazade's Daughters, or the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo, or both. Or you can read my blogs at my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog at www.saminakmogul.com. I thank you for listening. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night, and love and light.